Bible Baseball, coming to you from the Benny's Crusher Field in Napa, California. It's the big game for baseball, the Napa High Grizzlies against the Benny's High Crushers, and it is not raining at the present time. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation. This afternoon, it is high school baseball, and it's big game time for Napa and Vintage. I'm Ira C. Smith, and Jacob Grant's joining us today. So, Jacob, nice to have a chance to get outside and see some good baseball.
I think it's my first baseball game in a while, seeing that the Silverado season ended, you know, the first week of September, and I haven't been to an A's game since, so it's my first game out here, and you know, seeing the diamond in real life, in person, with my own eyes. So it's nice to be out here. I've never been to this field in particular to see Vintage baseball. It's normally always been Borman Field. So it'll be an interesting thing to see. It's my first time out here.
Well, we'd like to start out the broadcast by extending our congratulations to Jacob. He got his official, I guess you would say, it will be officially enrolled at Arizona State, so congratulations on getting your admissions.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting, and it's going to be fun to be a Sun Devil. You know, forks up, and it'll be nice to be out in the desert where you can play baseball all year round, and they got some hockey going down there.
Taking a look at the standings, Vine Valley Athletic League, there are two teams that are unbeaten in the league coming into today's game, Petaluma and Sonoma Valley. They each have 3-0 records in the league. But the team with the best overall record is Sonoma Valley. They are 9-1 overall. In league play, American Canyon is 2-1. Vintage is 1-1. Justin Sien is only 0-1, but they are 6-5 overall. Casa Grande and Napa High yet to win in league. They are each 0-3. But Napa has a 12-game losing streak this season, and they finished last season losing their last two games. So Napa High in baseball has lost 14 games in a row, trying to break that skein in this afternoon's contest. They have a new coach. It's Jason Chatham. His first year, he came over from Rodriguez, where he had coached some 14 years at Rodriguez. He happens to be a resident of Napa, so we thought it would be nice to coach in the area where he lives. He also has a son who is a sophomore who is on the JV baseball team. So good luck to Jason Chatham now as he is trying to get the Napa team to end that losing streak. Last year, when these two teams played, Napa and Vintage, Napa won the first two and Vintage won the third. That was when they were in the MEL and played each other three times. The Vintage Crushers are coached by Rich Anderson. This is his 27th year as the head coach. Prior to that, he served 3 years as the JV coach, and he served a lot of years as the coach for the American Legion team, too. He started back there in 1988, coaching American Legion baseball. Last year, they finished with a 12-14 record. They were into the section playoffs, but lost to Del Campo in the first round, 6-4. Napa last year, under Todd Pridey, had a 15-13 final record. They made it into the playoffs, and they also lost in the first round, a close contest to Wood Creek, 6-5 was the final in that competition. We'll be back in a moment, and we will be hearing from the coaches, Jason Chatham for Napa High and Rich Anderson for the Vintage Crushers, after we take time out for these messages.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
And we're at the Vintage Baseball Diamond in Napa, California, where the Vintage Crushers, the home team, sport a 4-5 record this year. They are 1-1 in the league, while Napa High, as you heard, is 0-12 overall. They are 0-3 in league play. So they're getting set now as far as getting this ball game underway. The Napa team will be starting two seniors, five juniors, and two sophomores in their starting lineup. The Vintage Crushers will start four seniors, two juniors, and three sophomores. But first, let's hear from the coaches. Jason Chatham, the visiting coach with Napa High. This is his first year at the helm.
Well, Jason, as I remember Napa last year, the first seven batters were seniors, so that means you didn't inherit too many position players.
Yeah, we're a young team right now. We had a really young varsity team last year, and we're definitely we're feeling that right now for our guys. We got some guys from other sports. You know, we're trying to find athletes around our campus to be competitive, and we're starting to look better in the games, but it hasn't yet showed up on the scoreboard.
What about field conditions over there at Mount Field?
You know, Todd told me that until we get to mid-March, that things were going to have a hard time in terms of staying dry. We had naturally a wet last couple months here, but you know, the field had it was holding water for a long time. But in the last couple of weeks, we started to be able to get on a little bit, which has been really nice. You know, we've been able to get it ready. We've been practicing on the field a little bit. It's made a lot of difference.
How's this going to affect your pitchers?
That's a good question. In terms of we've been in the bullpens. I mean, they should be able to find the zone and throw strikes. And, I think if we do that, we'll be competitive. We'll have a good opportunity to have success here. Pitchers have been getting work in. Our bullpens, we have the facilities we have right now, we can throw bullpens on turf, and so that's been actually one thing that's worked out really well for us in this rainy season.
And those are the comments of Jason Chatham. He's in his first year as head coach at Napa High.
Yeah, and when you look at Napa's record, they're a team that perennially has some good success, and with that transition from Coach Pridey to the new coach Chatham, it doesn't matter what group you have going out there, it really just depends on, buying in and buying into that coach's, the way that they run the game, the way that they give you the green light, how they call the pitch, the pitch script and all that. It's something you got to adjust to, especially for these juniors, seniors, and sophomores who have been in that Pridey system for so long at Napa.
And now let's find out what the head coach for the Vintage Crushers has to say about today's game, as well as the season, and particularly about the weather, as we spoke to Rich Anderson in his 27th year as the head baseball coach for the Vintage Crushers.
Well, Rich, let's talk about field conditions. It's been tough to stay on top of it this year.
Yeah, I just feel for the kids. Us old guys don't play anymore. We just coach. So we can coach kind of any conditions, but this year's just been rough trying to get it dry for them. And, the Napa Vintage game, you want perfect playing conditions, and this is safe and it's playable, and if it doesn't rain anymore today, we'll be in good shape, but it's far from optimum, and that's what I want a bright, sunny day for these guys and, have a field that's in perfect shape so we can put our best foot forward, and, it'll be a great game, a great competition anyways, but it's just been kind of a downer all spring.
In past years, you've had some of your home games at the Cleve Borman Field, the Veterans Home in Yountville.
Yeah, and if we played up there this year, we wouldn't even play the game up there. And I guarantee there's no one playing up there today. That field doesn't drain at all. And it just makes it much easier for the coaches, myself, especially trying to get a field ready and then having to run up to Yountville and try to get another field ready. It's like virtually impossible. I teach five periods of English a day, and then I run out here and get things done. It just simplifies things. Plus, the kids just on campus can walk right out and watch our game, especially as freshmen and sophomores who don't drive yet. They can come and be in the stands and be part of it.
How do you get practices in?
Well, we're really blessed, to be honest with you. This field, despite all the rain, drains really well. And even on days that it rains really heavily, there's sections of it that drain really well. So we've been on the field a lot this year, more than most teams probably and more than to be expected. Not our same routine, not our continuity that we want, which I think is a hallmark of what we do here. And that's been problematic. But we've been on the field a lot, and it's just a lot of work, a lot of wheelbarrows, a lot of shovels of water, getting it off, and then trying to rake it out and go.
Okay, we're getting set now, as we've heard from the two coaches, and looking out there as far as the captains today, Cole Kipsey is the catcher for Napa High, and he is the acting captain, and a guy who's been around for 4 years on the varsity. He's played various sports and was injured 1 year in football. It took him out of some basketball. But he's been a mainstay in athletics at Vintage High School. We're talking about Max Phipps. So he is the acting captain today for the Vintage Crushers. Taking a look at the starting lineup for the Napa Grizzlies, they'll lead off with Sean Lowe. He'll be playing left field. Trent Mayer will be out in center field hitting second. Cole Kipsey, the catcher, batting third. Dylan Foster will be over at first base, and he batting in that cleanup spot, followed by Travis Brayton, a shortstop, Lucas Brandon, the right fielder, Omar Gonzalez, who will be the starting pitcher in the game today for Napa High, Cal Snyder, and Lewis Ballard. So that's the lineup, and defensively, we'll tell you that when we get to that part of the lineup. Vintage Crashers, they will be starting Jake Whipple at shortstop. Harrison Kohagura will be out in left field batting second. Davide Magueto will be at third base hitting third. Eli Wood, the starting pitcher for the Crashers, batting in the cleanup spot. And they have Ian Avalos at first base. Jaime Hernandez, the designated hitter. Max Phipps out in right field. Troy Gisletta, the second baseman, and Logan Nothman is the center fielder. Now we're going to rise as they're going to be playing the national anthem. We'll be right back to start the game after these messages.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
Well, we're just about set. The Vintage Crashers have taken the field, getting ready to come up in the top half of the first inning. Will be Sean Lowe. The pitcher on the mound is a right-hander, Eli Wood. He's about 6'1", 200-pound senior, and let's find out what his coach has to say about him.
Well, he's a third-year varsity player, and essentially, he's really used to being the number one pitcher and pitching in big spots. So, of course, the Napa Vintage game is an emotional one, but that won't faze him. He's used to it at this point. He's always been a real efficient pitcher, real great strike. Strikeout to walk ratio. Had a little bit of a blip last year in that area because I think his sophomore year he struck out 66 and walked 6. So he walked a few more last year, but he seems to be just taking care of business for this year back to his his sophomore year as far as the efficiency goes. Last game he struck out 13 and walked 2. And to be honest with you, he was upset that he even walked 2. That's the kind of kid he is. Fastball in the mid 80s on a good day, but he's definitely a controlled pitcher.
And those are the comments about Eli Wood, the starting pitcher. His catcher is Sean Pratt. Over at first base is Ian Avalos. Troy Gisletta is at second base. Jake Whipple is the shortstop. And Davide Magueto is at third base. In the outfield from left to right, Harrison Kohagura, Logan Nothman, and Max Phipps. We're ready for the first batter. Napa as a team, Jacob, batting just 183. Give you an idea why they're 0-12 coming into this game. And the first pitch is down low, goes all the way to the backstop. Sean Lowe, a 6-foot senior, plays left field. He comes in having one hit in 21 at-bats.
I don't think it's going to get much better for Napa in this game. You know, Vintage, perennial, very, very good pitching staff. So, you know, it'll be a tough uphill climb for Napa today.
Hello, backed away from one, so it's a 2-0 count with Trent Mayer, the center fielder, on deck here. The top half of the first inning in the big game for baseball. He shows bunt, takes a pitch, and it's up a little high, and the count goes 3-0 on the batter, Sean Lowe, leading off for Napa, batting at 0-5-3. He is a left-handed batter. Here's the right-hander's dealing to him down low, and he walks him on 4 pitches. Not the way that Coach Rich Anderson wanted his team to start the game.
Yeah, it was surprising seeing that, you know, you're saying he was, what was it, 100? It was 11 strikeouts a game, so 66 strikeouts, 6 walks. You know, to get a walk right off on the leadoff guy is a little surprising.
Well, we have a right-handed batter, Trent Mayer, up now, a base runner at first, nobody out for Napa High. Trent batting at 281. He's had 9 hits this year, more than any other player on the Napa team, and he takes the ball over for a called strike. Mayer's just a junior. He's 6'1", junior. Steps out of the batter's box. looks down to his coach, Jason Chatham, who is coaching at the third base box here in the top half of the first inning. The runner shows that he might be going, but he goes back to the bag as the pitch was into the dirt. But Lowe retreats back to first base. Mayer is the batter. Kipsey is on deck. Mayer, as we mentioned, has had more hits than anybody else on the Napa High baseball squad here on the varsity level. The right-hander deals. The ball is hit toward right center field, the left center field. The center fielder is coming over. He's going to cut it off. And Mayer will be the first out here as he flies out to Logan Nothman in center field. The way it started out, it was actually going toward left center, and Harrison Konagura gave a little pursuit.
Well, they kind of have this shift going to where left is playing more towards center, and center's playing very far into right. So, the center fielder had to range quite a bit to get over to standard center field.
Here's Ko Kipsey, the batter now, one down and one on. He takes the first pitch for ball one down a little low. Kipsey is a 5'11 senior. He is captain of the Napa team coming into this game with a .238 batting average. Right-hander facing the right-handed slants of Wood on the mound, who delivers, and the pitch is taken for a strike. Worked the outside corner nicely on that pitch. Down at first base, Sean Lowe staying close to the bag there. Right-hander Eli Wood looks in to get the sign. Kipsey is the batter. Dylan Foster on deck. There goes the runner. The pitch is taken. There's a throw down to second base, and he is in safely with the stolen base for Sean Lowe. So Napa here in the top half of the first inning has a runner in scoring position with one out.
Yeah, that was a good steal. I mean, the catcher really had to go get that and dig that out of the dirt to try to pop up and get that over a second. So it was smart base running.
Here is the 2-1 delivery, and that just missed down a little low. It was low, but not by much. So Kipsey now ahead on the count there with that 3-1. It's a good one to force the pitcher to come in with a good pitch to hit it the distance. We'll see what can happen here. Left field is 334 feet away, center field 400, and the pitch is hit foul. It's out of play. Out right field, though, it's only 307 feet. But most of the power hitters we will be seeing are right-handed batters. And that left field fence, 334 feet away. So the count goes full now on Cole Kipsey. The senior catcher is going to back out of the box, and that's going to allow Sean Pratt to walk out to the mound to say something to his pitcher, Eli Wood. Jake Whipple, the shortstop, just checking over there at the bag, the one that would be covering second, as the second baseman, Disletta, is pulled way over half, looks like about halfway to first base there, as the pitcher Wood delivers the next pitch, and there's a swing and a miss, and the catcher dropped the ball, but he fires down to first for the putout, and Kipsey is the first strikeout, the second out here in the top half of the first inning. No score. Dylan Foster hitting an even 300. And easy to figure out, Jacob. He's had 3-for-10 this year.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And with that left field or the right field fence so short and being a left-handed batter, you can see some fireworks early on.
While Napa's looking for its first win, its closest game was against Vacaville back on March the 5th. He checks his swing, and it was over anyway for a called strike. So Napa lost that game 2-0, but they played good baseball back then, able to get one in around the rainy period. Dylan Foster, 6'4", junior, the lefty, waits on the right-handed pitch from Wood. The shortstop starts to cut in behind the runner, and there's a balk that's called on the pitcher, and that will allow Lowe to take third base. So we're seeing a little bit of everything here in this top half of the first inning. So the lead run at third base now, but there are two out. Foster the batter. A hit would mean a run, and he swings and misses. Well, the pitcher gets out in front now. No balls and two strikes. Two down here. We're in the top half of the first inning. Travis Brayton is on deck. They've got their killer bees, Brayton, Brandon, and Ballard. The right-hander's delivery. Swing and a miss. He got him out on strikes and strands a runner there at third base. No runs, no hits, no errors. One walk and one runner left on. As we go into the bottom half of the first, Whipple, Konakura, and Magoto are scheduled up for Vintage, and they'll be coming up after this.
More local sports coverage with Ira C. Smith on the way on KVON Napa. You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
And joining us on the broadcast today is Jacob Grant.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, that inning didn't look, you know, as spectacular as it did because, you know, you have that leadoff walk, then you got the stolen base, and then the balk to bring that runner to third. But overall, with the two strikeouts and that fly out to center, where, you know, the center fielder was basically playing right and had to range all the way back over, you know, it was actually a pretty good defensive inning, and pitching-wise, it's pretty good for Vintage. You know, it'll be nice to see how Napa can do pitching-wise. You know, their record as of late shows them getting a little bit obliterated in terms of the run differential, but, you know, it'll be nice to see if they bring a little extra to this rivalry game.
Well, the Vintage as a team hitting at 250, and their leadoff batter is Jake Whipple. He is a junior. He's the shortstop. Harrison Konagura is on deck to be followed by Davide Magoteo and the right-handed pitcher Omar Gonzalez. He's a 5'8", 125-pound junior, so he's not very big, and his first delivery is taken for ball one by Whipple. Cole Kipsey is the catcher. Dylan Foster playing first base. Cal Snyder at second. Travis Brayton is over at short. And Lewis Ballard is the third baseman. The pitch is hit high in the air. Third baseman coming over. He's calling for it. And it's Lewis Ballard that makes the put out as he gets close to the pitcher's mound there. So Whipple pops up to third baseman Lewis Ballard to start the bottom half of the first inning, one up and one down for the Vintage Crushers. This is a junior, Harrison Konagura, right-handed batter. That was breaking pitch that just missed somewhere.
That looked to me like it was, you know, right at the knees, but just a little inside. It kind of had a little side break to it.
Yeah, I have to keep cleaning the plate off quite a bit here. It's the mud around the area. Pitch is over, taken for a strike. So Konagura now has a one ball, one strike with one down here in the bottom half of the first inning. Davide Magoto is on deck, the ball way outside, caroms away from Cole Kipsey. In the outfield, Sean Lowe is in the left field. Trent Mayer is the center fielder, and Lucas Brandon is out in right field for Napa High. Napa looking for that initial win and going against their rival, the Vintage Crushers, here in the big game. Pitch just missed outside. That'll even the count now. Two balls, two strikes. Harrison Konagura, the left fielder, holds the bat up high as the delivery comes into him. A swing and a miss. He got him out on strikes. Nice pitch there from Omar Gonzalez. Coming into the game, Gonzalez had an 0-5 record. This is his sixth start of the season. He had worked 22 and a third innings, had given up 22 hits, 21 runs, but only 11 of those were earned. He had struck out 14 and walked 9. The ball is hit foul down the third baseline, where Coach Rich Anderson goes over, picks it up. Rich assisted by longtime assistants Billy Smith and Mark Lundeen. Lundeen works specifically with the pitching staff for Vintage. Here's the delivery, and the ball is hit out to left field. Left fielder coming over. He plays it on the high bounce, and it's Davide at first base with a single. He's only a sophomore, too. He's one of three sophomores getting the start for Vintage.
Yeah, it's important to get, you know, your younger kids some playing time to take that spot of the junior or senior who moves on to either the next level or just to college in general. So it's nice to see the younger kids produce in high school.
Right-handed batter getting set there as Omar Gonzalez throw over to first base. And the batter Wood, the pitcher at the plate, and the first ball is hit down the right field line. The second baseman going over, first baseman going over, and it is out of our view.
I believe it was just called foul, so I may be wrong, but I think it dropped.
Well, as I mentioned, it was just out of our view, so we will have it go as a noisy strike there against Eli Wood. There are two outs and a runner at first base. Magoto, he's taking a good lead off there, and they get the token throw over there, and they nearly got him there. Boy, that was a throw over to Dylan Foster, the first baseman. Gonzalez has nine walks in those previous starts, and the ball is hit foul again out of play. So Gonzalez, the pitcher, staying ahead of the cleanup batter, Eli Wood. So it's the pitcher batting in the cleanup spot, but an 0-2 count on him. Gonzalez looks in. He's working from the stretch and delivers a breaking pitch, swing and a miss, and he gets out of the inning there with the second strike out of the inning. No runs, no hits, or one hit, and no errors, and one runner left on. So we're going to the second inning. Brayton, Brandon, and Gonzalez coming up for Napa High after this.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
Well, two of the three B's are coming up here in the top half of the second inning, Travis Brayton and Lucas Brandon. And then the pitcher spot, Omar Gonzalez, coming up third in the top half of the second inning. Brandon will be the second batter, and he is a sophomore. There are just two sophomores on Napa High, but they only have two seniors as well on the starting nine, and there are five juniors. Last year, Todd Pridey as the coach. That was his 18th year as the head coach for Napa High. All of those as Indians. They finished with a 15-13 record last year. And then Todd resigned so he can watch his boys play baseball, playing over at Sonoma State, one of them. Here's the pitch down low into the dirt and caroms to the backstop. So Travis Brayton, the shortstop, is at the plate now, and it's one ball and no strike.
Yeah, I had Pridey as a teacher back at Napa High, and he's a real good dude. I was sad to see him go and, you know, leave the skipper spot at Napa High, but, you know, I was hoping he could come on in the Silverados in some way as either assistant manager or as manager, but, you know, he's obviously looking forward to watching his kids play on, you know, the Sonoma State field. So I'm excited for him, and, you know, it was a bummer to see him go. But hopefully Chatham can bring this program up to a playoff kind of team.
Well, Todd's dad is still attending the ball games. He's out here to watch Napa High against Vintage, see if Napa can pick up that initial win of the season. The batter now is a finally get things squared away. There was a little conference on the mound as Sean Pratt, the catcher, had gone out to say something to Eli Wood. Now the slender Travis Brayton, 6'2", junior, right-handed batter at the plate. One ball, no strike, and the delivery down low, not in the dirt this time, but just about 6 inches off the ground. Lucas Brayton is on deck. We've got underclassmen all scheduled. Oh, and the pitch came inside and hit him. Boy, on a cool day, that could sting.
Yeah, you'll have a nice welt from that one. It looks like I've got him on the meaty part of the shoulder, though, so You know, it doesn't sting as bad as taking that off the elbow or the knee. Oh, those are the ones that really hurt.
Well, Lucas Brandon will be the batter now as he looks down third baseline there to Jason Chatham. He comes up to the plate with a runner at first and nobody out. Napa had the leadoff batter get on base last time, too, in the first spot. Here is the pitch, and he attempts a bunt, and it goes foul, trying to bunt down the third baseline. Over at first base, A.J. Borgia is the coach down at that area. And we've got, as we mentioned, the head coach, Jason Chatham, down the third baseline. Right-hander on the mound, Eli Wood, working from the stretch and fires one over to first base. Really close again. Just getting back, beating the throw, was Brayton. This is Brandon, a 6'1 sophomore at the plate, hitting a 261 on the season. Eli Wood's delivery to him, low and outside. Evens the count now, the ball and a strike. Randy Keene is the guy that works with the pitchers. He's been around baseball in these areas for quite some time, does a really nice job with the Napa pitchers. Bill Dotson works some with the catchers. Dom Romero helps out with the infielders. Pitch just caught the outside corner for a called strike. One ball, two strikes. And we mentioned about the head coach, Jason Chatham, having coached over at Rodriguez High School when that school opened up some 15 years ago. He was their coach for 14 years before coming over to Napa. Pitch is taken for a strike, and that's strike three called. So that is the third strikeout for Eli Wood. Lucas Brandon down on strikes. With the opposing pitcher, Omar Gonzalez does not present much of a strike zone up there at the plate, 5'8 junior. He's had six hits this year, and he tries a bunt. Goes foul off to the right over by the Napa dugout, vintage down the third baseline and their dugout. Field's in pretty good condition considering all the rain that we've had there. Done a nice job of getting it ready for the big game today. Gonzalez, a right-handed batter. There's another throw to first base. Getting back here was Brayton. Travis Brayton is the runner. The batter is Omar Gonzalez. On deck is Cal Snyder. The ball is hit toward left center field. Left fielder coming over. Center fielder coming over. He calls him up. And again, Logan Nothman was able to get there for the put out. He was playing a bit over toward right field, too.
Yeah, they just have that shift. I mean, the wind's blowing that direction. So if you really have one of those hangers that gets up in those currents, you know, it does float a little towards right. So you kind of have to be prepared for that. But to me, that's a little bit of an extreme shift, but it's worked so far. It's nice to have a rangy, fast center fielder.
Here's a 5'8 sophomore, Cal Snyder, at the plate. He swings and misses. Takes a pretty good cut at the ball. Lewis Ballard is on deck. Snyder batting in the number 8 spot in the Napa batting order. Holds the bat up high. Wood checks, works from the stretch, and came on the inside corner for a called strike two. So Eli Wood gets ahead of Cal Snyder at the plate with a no-ball, two-strike count. Base runner Brayton led off by getting hit by the pitch. Is still at first base. There's a breaking pitch and a swing and a miss, and that's his fourth strikeout. Of those, three of them have been swinging strikeouts. No runs, no hits, no errors. There was a hit batsman and one runner left on. We go into the home half of the second inning. Avalos, Hernandez, and Phipps are scheduled up for Vintage Eye after this.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
Well, the pitcher, Gonzalez, ready for his second inning. Let's find out what his coach has to say about his pitching.
Omar is a very competitive kid. He's not the tallest kid out there. He's not the biggest kid out there. He doesn't have the biggest fastball out there. But he might be in line for the biggest competitor out on the field. He throws four pitches for a strike. You can throw him inside and out. He can go up and down. He's a typical pitch-to-contact type of guy, but he has a hyper-competitive streak, and that makes him tough.
And he's ready now for his first pitch to Avalos, and it's on the way, and it hit him. Came inside, and Avalos flicked a little bit and then head down to first base. Like, no big thing.
Yeah, you know, at this level, you don't call it a retaliation pitch because it's probably not what it is. But at the major league level, that would definitely draw some eyes towards the opposing dugout because, you know, back-to-back leadoff batters getting plunked, you know. It draws some attention.
Jaime Hernandez is a right-handed batter. He's the designated hitter today, and he takes one on the outside corner for a called strike one. Avalos is the base runner at first base. Hernandez is the designated hitter and the batter at the plate, and Max Phipps is on deck for Benitez. Nobody out and a runner on first. There's another strike. So the pitcher, Omar Gonzalez, gets a hit. No balls and two strikes. Runner taking a short lead off of first base. That's Ian Avalos, a sophomore. They get a throw over there. The batter, Hernandez, a senior. Then Phipps, a senior. Then Gizleta, a senior. So we've got three seniors in a row here for the Crushers. The ball is hit slowly back to the mound. It's going to be a tough play. The pitcher, he gets it, has to hurry his throw to first, gets him. But on the play, Avalos takes second base. That was nice, cool play by Gonzalez on that slow roller.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those that it was going to have to be a strong arm kind of play because it really did bounce slow on that wet grass. It didn't, you know, run up to the pitcher like you see on a nice summer day. So definitely a display of arm strength.
Max Phipps, left-handed batter. He's the captain of the team in today's game. He's batting over 300 at 316 as he comes in, and he takes the first pitch for ball one. Phipps, football, basketball, baseball, out here. The right fielder today hits the ball slowly foul over by the Napa High dugout. No score. We're here in the bottom half of the second inning, scheduled seven-inning contest. We're at the Crusher Field out here at Vintage High School in Napa, California, along with Jacob Grant. This is Ira C. Smith. We have the Vintage Crushers trying to get in the lead there. They've got a runner in scoring position at second base. That's Avalos, and the ball is hit foul by Phipps. It goes out of play to the left. Gizleta on deck. The base runner not being held on too closely there at second base. The shortstop is coming over there fairly close behind the runner. Second baseman way over toward first base. They got a shift here for the left-hander. Now the shortstop is almost at the second base bag, and the pitch was just a little high. Well, Jacob, are you surprised at the sale of the Silverados?
Not really. I mean, those teams change hands so often. You know, at the independent level, you really don't make enough money to sustain it for too long. So you kind of have to try to get some longevity out of multiple owners at one time as that ball goes foul towards the third base side. So the count now is 2-2 for those listening.
He just kind of poked it. I'm just not a heavy swing, but just a little half swing and tried to poke it down the left field line because the shift is on. And here's the pitch to Phipps. And that is hit to right center field. You got some good hit on that going back as the center fielder makes the catch. Tagging up was Avalos at second base, and he will make it without a throw over to third base as Phipps flies out to deep center field. Made good contact.
Yeah, that, you know, on a day that you don't have a lot of moisture in the air and you don't have that wind, you know, you never know where that one could go. But, you know, with the center field fence that far back at 400, you really don't have much of a chance of that one going out. But, you know, if that was Napa Valley College Field, that thing would have been gone by about 80 feet.
Here's Troy Gizleta. He's a senior batting at 235. He plays second base defensively. He's up there with two outs. And the lead run is down at third base if they can get him in. There's a foul ball right at his feet. Just carries over to the left of the home plate area. Now the the batter's box. Gisletta, the right-hander, holds that bat high. Gonzalez goes into his full windup now with the runner at third base. He started down the line, and now Avalos goes back as the catcher looks him back there. Rich Anderson, the coach, saying something over to Ian Avalos. The base runner at third base, representing the lead run if they can get him in. Pitch over the outside corner for a called strike. Nice pitch there by Gonzalez.
Yeah, he seems to be working that bottom corner of the zone real well. I mean, none of Vintage's players are necessarily, you know, that tall, so it's not like it's a reach for them to get there, but he just is disguising those pitches well.
There's a swing and a miss, and that is the third strikeout all of the swinging variety, and no harm done then by that hit batsman. And in the inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and one runner left on, and each team has left two base runners through two innings. As we go into the third inning, it'll be the bottom of the order in Ballard, and then the top of the lineup coming up for Napa High. No score as we go into the third.
Cool sports coverage with Ira C. Smith on the way on KVON Napa. You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Well, we move into the top half of the third inning. Game moving along nicely, and it'll be Lewis Ballard to lead it off for Napa High. He's a 6'2 junior. Defensively, he plays third base. The right-hander Eli Wood finishing his warm-ups on the mound. They've got Ian Avalos playing first base. Troy Gisletta is over there at second base. Jake Whipple is the shortstop. And Davide Maganto is the third baseman. Harrison Kohagura in left field. Logan Nothman in center, and Max Phipps out in right field. Stepping to the plate is Ballard, hitting an even 200, and the right-hander looks at one right down the middle for a called strike. Top of the lineup, and Sean Lowe is on deck for Napa High, the former Indians trying to get a base runner and see if they can get him around as the pitch comes in, and he shows bunt and fouls it off. The backstop. Ballard, a junior, slender build at 6'2". He waits as Wood, checking the sign, gets it from Pratt and delivers, swing and a miss. Wood had two strikeouts in the first inning and two more then in the second inning. And gets I guess that was the third strike that I was waiting for the umpire.
He had the one looking right down the middle, then he fouled that one off on the bunt attempt, and then he got the third swing.
That's right. So that's his fifth strikeout. There is a strike to Lowe coming up here in the third inning. He walked back in the first inning to start the ball game. Mayer on deck. Third inning, no score, swing and a miss. So that puts Eli Wood out in front, no balls and two strikes. Sean Lowe has had one hit, but as leadoff batter, he did get on base in that first inning by virtue of a walk. That's what they want from him. There's a swing and a miss, and the catcher fires down to first base. As that's
called strike.
That's 1-1 the count. Kohagura as the pitch comes in, breaking pitch. It broke over for a called strike. 1-2 now the count to Kohagura. Right-hander Gonzalez delivers again, and the ball is hit to the third baseman. Just a little nubber there, and the third baseman, Ballard, is able to put it away for the third out there in the inning. So, in the third, a 1-2-3 inning for Gonzalez, and it's been a 1-2-3 inning for Wood as well. We'll move into the fourth inning, and it'll be the number three batter, Kipsey, then Foster and Brayton coming up for Napa High. No score as we go into the fourth inning.
Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
Well, we move into the fourth inning, game moving right along. neither team having scored yet. Last year in the three meetings, Napa won the first time they played 10-0 with the 10-run rule prevailing. Then when they, that was April the 5th, and then April the 8th, Napa won 10-3. Then Vintage won the third and final meeting on May the 9th. 8-6 was the score. Here is Kipsey leading off, and he pitches into the dirt and goes to the backstop. Cole Kipsey, a senior, a strikeout victim back in the first inning, leading off for Napa High. Napa trying to break that losing streak that has reached 14 games, two last year and 12 this year. Pitches over for a called strike. Nice control by Eli Wood, except for a couple batters. He walked one and hit a batter, but no hits off of him yet. And we're here in the fourth inning, and the pitch right down the groove for a strike. Boy, he's throwing strikes with regularity.
Yeah, he's getting them in that good part of the zone. And, you know, people, batters so far haven't been able to identify that curveball low in the zone. So it's proven to be a pretty effective outing so far.
Oh, nice play by the third baseman. His throw to first in time. Oh, great play there by Davide Magoto. Is just came up with a superb grab of Kipsey's ball. He extended himself. Got up and fired a strike over to first baseman Ian Avalos for the first out here in the inning. It was his best defensive play that we have had. So here is Foster coming up, and we're still hearing in the background. Yeah, somebody on the phone back there in the background coming across on the air. Swing and a miss. This is Dylan Foster. He was a strikeout victim back in the first inning. Came into the game hitting at 300, though. Here's the right-hander Wood. Next delivery, ball is hit right back to Wood. He grabs it, starts to run over to first base, and then underhands it over to Ian Avalos for the out. Play going pitcher to the first baseman Avalos. Avalos playing first. Gazzetta playing second, Whipple playing short, Magoto is playing third, Konagura is in left, Knopfman in center, Phipps in right, Pratt is the catcher, and here is Wood's first delivery, and it's down too low to Travis Brayton. Brayton was hit by the pitched ball back in the second inning, leading off. Napa at the plate now here in the fourth inning, no score in our game, the big game between Napa and Vintage. And the delivery is hit towards the left side of the infield, but looks like it's going foul. Third baseman Davide Magoto gave pursuit, but it is out of play. And the coach, Jason Chatham, down the first baseline, giving him a nice little applaud for coming around and making contact with the ball. There are two outs here and nobody on in the fourth inning. Right-hander Wood looks in, has a sign, delivers the pitch, and he tried to hold up, but he went, and saying apparently that he did go far enough to make it a strike. He tried to hold up, but
yeah, it was just a funky little order of confusion over there. You know, you had the, it looked like he kind of went around, but then it looked like it fouled off. It was just all sorts of confusion.
Well, Brayton's up there, 0-2 delivery. That missed outside. Travis takes it for ball one. Brandon is on deck. Lucas Brandon would like to get up to bat here in the fourth inning. Scheduled seven-inning contest here at Crusher Field. A swing and a miss. And that was the seventh strikeout by Wood, of which six of them have been of the swinging variety. So we go into the bottom half of the fourth inning. It'll be the number three, four, and five hitters coming up for the Crusaders. No score in our game. Back after this.
You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Well, we're moving right along here. So far, Napa's still looking for that first hit. Vintage has only had one hit in the ball game. Nice pitching on both teams' part. And it'll be the number three hitter in the Vintage batting order, Davide Magoto. He is just a sophomore. He has had the game's only hit. That came back in the bottom half of the first inning with two down. Now he's leading off here in the fourth inning with the pitcher, Eli Wood, on deck to be followed by Ian Avalos, and the pitch is taken for ball one. Omar Gonzalez on the mound. One ball and no strikes to Magoto. The pitch, breaking pitch, broke over the outside corner nicely. Well, Gonzalez doesn't have a lot of speed, but he mixes them up nicely.
He's got a good mix, but then he also seems to have pretty good control. He seems to be putting it right where Kipsy wants it, and that one rolls over to second, and it's over to first to record the second out, or first out. Apologize.
So he hit the ball slowly to Cal Snyder, the second baseman, fielded it cleanly, then flipped the ball over to Dylan Foster, the first baseman, for the out. Play going 4-3 here in the fourth inning. Eli Wood, strikeout victim that ended the first inning. A right-handed batter is up there now with one down in the fourth inning, and he hits the ball down to third base. Ooh, it takes a bad bounce. Hits him on the chin. Ballard picks up the ball, throws over to first. And, well, that was a bad bounce there that came up and hit Lewis Ballard in the chest. It bounded away from him, and are you going to give him an error on that one? It's a bad hop.
I've seen that hop one too many times out of the college field trying to score games, and I normally rewarded that one as a hit. So if I were the scorer, I'd give that one as a hit.
All right, that's what we'll do then. Give that Marty James over there. See what Marty gave him on that. Here's the pitch. It was a pitch was taken up for one. Did you give him a hit, Marty? He gave him a hit as well. You got Kyle Foster over there, too. He's observing as well. He'll be writing about the ball game. The runner shows he's going, but he doesn't. He holds up there, and the pitch is taken for ball two. Avalos was hit by the pitch ball his first time up. He's just a sophomore, one of three sophomores to get the start today for Vintage Earth. The throw to first base, diving back is Eli Wood. So Magoto and Wood have had the only hits in the game, both of them for the Crashers. They have a base runner at first, and he takes. There's a throw down to first, trying to throw behind the runner, but Wood was back. So the pitcher falling behind, one of the few times that Gonzalez has fallen behind. He has not walked a batter, although he did hit the Avalos, and Avalos takes a strike. It makes it a 3-1 count now to end. Came into the game with a .222 batting average. Jaime Hernandez on deck, one down here, and the runner shows he's going. The ball is hit down towards second. Second baseman feels it, steps on the bag for one, throws the first in time. I guess maybe he didn't get him at second base. Looked like it was close.
It looked like it to me, but, you know, with the only umpire out in the field trying to look at both second and first, sometimes that can go a little unnoticed. I thought that he filled that cleanly off that bounce off the rubber and then was able to step on that one on second and get it over to first. But I'm not the ump, so I don't make that call.
Well, they're ruling him safe at second but out at first, so it was a ground out for Avalos. And the pitch is taken for a strike to Hernandez. Jaime batting at .214 coming into the game. The lead run is over at second base now with two down here in the home half of the fourth inning. Hernandez watches, and that's another one that breaks over for a called strike. We've got Gonzalez pitching, Hernandez batting, and Phipps has moved on deck for the Vintage Crashers. Scoreless ball game here in the fourth inning. Right-hander Omar Gonzalez, 5'8", 125 pounds. Not big. A swing and a miss by Hernandez, and that was the strikeout number, let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth strikeout. No runs, a hit, no errors, and one runner left on. We'll go into the fifth inning, and Brandon Gonzalez and Snyder are scheduled up for Napa High. We are scoreless after four.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
And we're at the Vintage Baseball Field. Jacob Grant alongside here. Jacob worked with the Silverados, Napa's professional baseball team, last year.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun experience. You know, you make some good friends from the front office, and you know, it was a good group of guys that they had going, all, you know, great personal lives outside of the field, you know, that really, really showed a great impact in the community. But, you know, record-wise, it wasn't what, you know, everybody hoped, whether it was Tito, Bruce, Megan, myself, or any of the other front office staff. But it was nice to see, you know, a group of guys that banded together and really put up a valiant effort for an inaugural season for a first-time head manager. And it was, you know, it was disappointing to see the results, but, you know, they have a lot of guys returning from last season. So, you know, it should be good to see, you know, Josh Montelongo, I think, is going to be back, and he's hit quite a few homers at Napa Valley College Field, so should be fun.
And the pitch is taken for strike one to Lucas Brandon, leading off the top half of the fifth inning in a scoreless game, the big game, Napa High batting against the Vintage Chrysers. Brandon called out on strikes his first time. He watches the pitch up high that levels the count now at 1-1. The pitcher, Gonzalez, is on deck for Napa High, trying to get something started. In fact, trying to get somebody on base. They have yet to have a hit. The ball is grounded up the middle. This is going to be close. It hits the bag and caroms away, and there's the first hit of the ball game for Napa High. It comes in the fifth inning with Brandon leading off. Took a hop right to the bag and then popped up in the air, and neither the shortstop nor the second baseman could get to it.
I just took a funky hop. It went off the rubber, and you could see it. You could see it was on track to hit that second baseman pop up in the air. So it was a nice hit. It got a lucky little ball bounce there, but it was a good hit. Good to get on base for Napa.
Gonzalez waits at the plate as the play is made over at first base, but Brandon dives back safely. So the leadoff batter is on base here for Napa High in the fifth inning. They had the leadoff batter in the first inning, Sean Lowe, get on base by walk. And then they had a hit batsman to get on base with nobody out in the second inning. And they're showing a bunt, and the first baseman, Ian Avalos, started to run in from the bag, anticipating the bunt from Gonzalez. Gonzalez has called down the third baseline to his coach, Jason Chatham. Chatham wanting to say something to him. Chatham has a son that's a sophomore that is a pretty good baseball player. He's on the Napa High JV team. And Chatham had been the baseball coach over at Rodriguez High School since that school started 15 years ago. So he was there for 14 years, coming over this year to Napa High. One ball, no strikes, one base runner at first. There's the bunt ball. It's going to be foul. They hit it down the first baseline. The base runner over there, Brandon, coming back to the bag. One ball, one strike, no out. It's a 0-0 score right now. Napa trying to put something together, wanting to get their first win of the season. There's a throw to first. Diving back safely was Brandon. Gonzalez came into the game having had six hits on the season. He was 6-for-34, a .176 average, with Napa as a team batting only .183.
That's tough days and tough weather in the beginning of the season. So, you know, to get a hit, not relatively early, but, you know, early enough in the game that you get some confidence, and to have him on base now in a tie 0-0 ball game heading into the bottom of the fifth at this point. So, it's good effort from the Grizzlies so far.
Well, the pitch by Gonzalez was fouled to the backstop. Wood is ready now with the next delivery, and it's hit down to the second baseman. You know, he muffs the play and throws it over the head of the first baseman. Gisletta had him trouble fielding the ball, and that allows Brandon to go all the way to third base, and Gonzalez on the error by the second baseman is safe at first. runners on the corners and nobody out here in a scoreless game in the top of the fifth inning. This is the number eight batter in the order, a 5'8 sophomore, Cal Snyder, coming to the plate. His batting average is only 118, but he's got a chance to produce the first run of the ballgame. Snyder, a right-hander. Base runner Brandon takes a short lead off of third. Gonzalez, a little longer lead off of first. The pitch is up high, taken by Snyder for ball one. Snyder backs out of the batter's box, looks down to Chatham. Chatham holds both fists up in the air out to his side. That's an indication as far as what he wants Snyder to do. He's set, and the delivery, and that missed a little low. Makes it 2-0. Snyder again backs out of the box, looks down. This time Coach Chatham just works his sleeves up, like he's rolling up his sleeves. We'll see what that indicates. The ball is hit foul. Swinging away was Snyder. Again, Snyder steps out of the box, looks down to his coach. And not much of a sign that time by Chatham. As he was walking toward the plate. Now he walks back to his coach's box. And here is the 2-1 offering coming in and hits slowly foul baseline. Just a little nubber there. No score, but Napa threatening here in the fifth inning. Napa's closest game this year was March the 5th when they lost to Vacaville 2-0. They have had the 10-run rule applied against them five times this season. Here's the pitch, hit foul. Just got a little piece of it, fouled it off, made enough of a contact so it was not strike three. Count holds at 2-2. Snyder, a strikeout victim in the second inning, down swinging. Looks down to Chatham. Chatham clapping his hands there as he gets ready in his coach's box. And the batter, Snyder, back in the batter's box now. Two balls, two strikes, two runners on. Nobody out here in the top of the fifth inning. And the pitch, swing and a miss. And that was the swinging strikeout. That was the eighth strikeout for Eli Wood. Wood is a 6'1 senior, weighs about 200 pounds, and there's a timeout now as they want to have a conference on the mound. And Jason Chatham's taking this opportunity to have a conference with his base runners. He's going to have Ballard is scheduled at the plate. Ballard is batting ninth in the order. So far, neither manager has made any changes in their personnel or in their batting order. Now coming to the plate, Lewis Ballard is staying in there. He's a 6'2 junior. Came into the game with a 200 batting average, but was a strikeout victim in the third inning for the first out in that inning. He's up here in the fifth inning, the lead run at third base and one down. Runners on the corners. And the pitch is taken. Just missed, but not by much. Gonzalez takes a short lead off of first base. And Lucas Brandon, short lead off of third base there, as Wood checks the runners. They're trying to bunt is successful, and they drive in the runner from third base. That was a suicide squeeze.
That was a that was a fun bunt. He looked for it low, and it came up high on him, and he had to jump up and try to block that one from cleaning him straight up in the face. So, you know, it was a good smart play, heads up play by Ballard to, you know, save his jaw and get a run in.
Yeah, that. The runner was coming down regardless of where the pitch was going to be. So it was a suicide, and he scored. And Napa has taken the lead on the sacrifice bunt. And the ball is bunted at and fouled off by Sean Lowe now. And on that play, Omar Gonzalez was able to get down to second base. So Ballard, who is number 9 spot on the batting order, gets the first RBI in the game. This is the 5th batter to come to the plate, Sean Lowe, a left-handed batter. He's 0 for 1 and a walk, takes it down low. He backs away from the plate just in case Gonzalez was thinking about trying to get down to third base. He was not. There are 2 outs as the Ballard was recorded an out there on his suicide bunt. The ball is bunted back to the pitcher. He dives for it, and he makes the grab in the air for the third out. So Sean Lowe pops it up to the pitcher for out number 3. But in the inning, 1 run scored. There was 1 hit. There was a big error in the contest in that inning, and 1 runner left on. So we go into the bottom half of the 5th inning, and it's the bottom third of the batting order coming up for Vintage High, trailing Napa now after 4.5, 1-0.
More local sports coverage with Ira C. Smith on the way on KVON Napa. You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Well, we're back here with the Crozier Field. Todd Pridey, for 18 years, had been the baseball coach at Napa High, and his father, Ed Pridey, used to come out to all the games when Todd was coaching, and he's still coming out even though Todd is not coaching this year.
Oh, yeah, I love baseball. Love Napa baseball.
What about Todd? What's he doing this year?
Well, he's doing his teaching. He's really, really working on the teaching, and then some evenings he works with Jack on hitting. He hasn't been.
Jack's over at Sonoma State.
He's doing real well. He's batting .255 and playing third base, and he loves it over there.
And this is his first year.
Yes, he's the first year playing there.
Well, always good to see you out, Ed.
Thank you very much. I love being here.
The ball is hit out towards right center field. The center fielder goes back, and he makes the grab. Trent Mayer went way back there to get Max Phipps' drive. So, 2 occasions today, Phipps is flying out to deep center field there. And as Jacob Grant alluded to, that's quite a poke.
It is. You know, it's tough to knuckle it off the top of the bat like that and get it as far as he did. It helps to have that wind out there. But with the center fielder all ranged over like that, you know, it's a 50-50. But center fielder is showing some speed. You know, regardless of where that ball has been placed, he's there in a split second to grab it.
Troy Gisletta, a senior at second base, is up now with 1 down and nobody on, and he takes the pitch on the outside corner for a called strike 1. Gisletta entered the game batting at .235. The senior is a right-handed batter, gets up now at the kind of a little bend in his stance, and he watches the pitch just miss. The catcher, Kissy, tried to frame that pitch, thinking that it had been a pretty good one.
You can thank Bill James, the sabermetric master, for that framing technique and its prevalence today. It's one of those that you can pay a premium for a catcher who can frame a pitch well.
Well, he almost went around, but not all the way, said the umpire, so he takes it for a ball. Gisletta up there, strikeout victim, his first time up. There's 1 down and nobody on here in the bottom of the 5th inning. And the pitch, that caught the outside corner for a called strike 2. Evens the count now. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Napa High leading. Wanting to hold on and get their first win of the season. Going against their rival, the Vintage Crushers, who have 4 wins, 5 losses. Ball hit foul, out of play, off to the right. Gonzalez, the pitcher, Cole Kipsey, the catcher, Dylan Foster playing first base, Cal Snyder at second, Travis Brayton, the shortstop, and Lewis Ballard over at third. Sean Lowe out in left, Trenton Mayer in center, and Lucas Brandall at right field, and a swing and a miss, and Gisletta is out for the second time on strikes. 2 down, nobody on. Logan Nosman, he was a strikeout victim. That was the 6th strikeout for Gonzalez. He rocks into motion. and the ball is bunted back to him. The catcher comes out. The catcher fields the ball, throws to first base just in time to get a speedy Logan Nothman. So 2-3 for a 1-2-3 inning here in the fifth inning for Omar Gonzalez. So we go into the sixth inning. It'll be Mayer, Kipsey, and Foster due up for Napa High, leading after five complete innings, 1-0.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
When your car or truck is ready for new...
You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Just a reminder, you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com, along with Jacob Grant. And Jacob's getting excited because the National Hockey League will round up the teams that are making it into the playoffs. And his New York Islanders, are they going to be in there?
They clinched just a couple of days ago. It was a lot of fun, you know. It'll be nice. They're playing back at home for the first time in a while. You know, it would be like if the Niners went, you know, from playing in Santa Clara back to playing in San Francisco. So they're back at home, and they get they're trying to fight for, you know, home playoff rights at the Coliseum on Long Island. So, you know, it's a fun time to be an Islander fan.
Here we go. Top half of the sixth inning. Napa at bat. They lead it 1-0. The ball is hit in the air off to the right side. First baseman is coming over. Catcher is coming over. And must have just been foul. It was out of our vantage point. So Trent Mayer, the leadoff batter, is 0-for-2 today. He flied out to the center fielder, and he grounded out to the first baseman unassisted. He came into today's game as Napa High's leading hitter. He had 9 hits in the first 12 games. While Napa had a 12-game losing streak going this season, they lost their last two games at the end of last season, too. There, the ball slapped down to the shortstop, fielded there by Whipple over to first base in time. Wow. That Jake Whipple making the play, and Mayer is the first out. That'll bring Kipsey to the plate. Struck out, swinging in the first, and grounded out third baseman to first back in the fourth inning. So he's 0-for-2, hits the ball foul, goes out of play over the backstop. Dylan Foster is on deck. Napa leads 1-0. Top half of the sixth inning, scheduled 7-inning contest at Chrysler Field in Napa. Wood delivers, and the pitch is over for a called strike. Kipsey steps out of the batter's box, looks down to Jason Chatham at first base. Back at the batter's box now, holding that bat high as the delivery comes in low to him. Well, the Napa batter do a nice job of when they step away from the plate, checking what their coach is indicating that he would like to have them do. We'll see what they can come through with. Kipsey takes it for a ball, 1-2. Kipsey is 5'11 senior. He is the acting captain today for the Napa baseball team. They started two seniors, 5 juniors, and 2 sophomores. Held up on one. Boy, he had a notion on that, but did a nice job of holding back.
Yeah, that's that curveball low in the zone that I was talking about earlier. That, you know, early on they weren't really seeing it as well as that. Now they look like they're getting a good eye on it. So it'll be interesting to see how the Napa team bats seeing that curveball.
Well, full count pitch, and it's in too tight to Kipsey. He will draw a walk. That's only the second walk given up by Eli Wood, the first one being the opening batter of the game when Sean Lowe worked him for a walk. That was back in the first inning, the first batter. Now here in the sixth inning with one down, Napa gets a base runner, leading by a 1-0 score. Napa had 5 batters go to the plate last inning. Here's the pitch, and it's taken for ball one. Dylan Foster, strikeout victim and a ground out in his two previous at-bats. Napa last year made it into the section, lost to Wood Creek 6-5 in the opening round of the section, a close game. Pitch taken outside. Todd Pridey, very proud of his team from last year. That was his 18th year as the head coach for Napa High Baseball. It's a 2-0 count now to Dylan Foster as the right-hander Wood working from the stretch with the runner at first base. Swing and a miss. Foster had 3-for-10 in the hit department coming into the game. Stout build, about 6'4 in stature. Left-handed batter facing the right-hander. Gipsy takes the lead off of first. The pitch is taken down low. Last year, Vintage played its home games at Cleve Borman Field at the Veterans Home in Yountville. But that field does not do well with a lot of rain, which we have had, and so the field is not playable. There goes the runner. The pitch is taken down low, and that was ball four anyway. So Foster draws the second consecutive walk given up by Eli Wood, and that advances Gipsy into scoring position now at second base with one down. Runners at first and second. Gipsy at second. Foster at first. Travis Brayton, who was hit by a pitch ball and struck out, is scheduled. Let's see if we have Brayton is not yet moving into the batter's box. So the NHL's final regular season is Saturday or is that Sunday?
I think there's only two games left, at least as far as the Islanders are considered, so I can't exactly tell you the last day. Normally, it's normally the end of the first week of April. It's normally the Sunday. So I would assume it is definitely this weekend.
Well, the Sharks finish on Saturday. The runner dove back into first base before the ball was thrown, so you could say he was really safe there. Dove back into first base. When he got back in there, then the ball was thrown over there by Wood. Well, there's a 1-0 score here in the sixth inning, but Napa threatening again with two runners on and one out, and the pitch and the ball is hit, goes foul, out of play, off to the left. Well, yesterday there was supposed to be the Napa Vintage big game for softball. It was rained out. I asked the athletic director at Vintage High when that was going to be rescheduled. He said they're going to wait until the weather starts to clear. The pitch is taken for a strike.
There's a pinch runner on first. I don't know if you noticed. It's Anthony Toscano.
Okay.
He replaced Dylan Foster at first.
Yeah, quite a difference in size there, too. Toscano there at first, and the ball is down low. So, see if I can find out a little bit about Toscano. He is a 5'6 junior, weighs about 140 pounds. His normal position is infield, and he takes a fairly good lead off of first, runner off of second, and the pitch to the plate is in too tight for a ball. At evens the count now, two balls, two strikes. Travis Brayton, Lucas Brandon on deck for Napa High, leading 1-0. We're here in the top half of the sixth inning. Two runners on and one down. And the pitch, it caught the outside corner for a strike. That's strike three. And that is the ninth strikeout for Wood. I think that's only the second one that's been the called strike. He struck Lucas Brandon out on called strikes in the second inning, and he gets Brayton called out on strikes here in the sixth, and that brings Brandon to the plate. Brandon has scored the only run in the game. He has had one hit, the only hit in the game for Napa High, and the pitch to him is down low. Nice job by Sean Pratt. Done a good job behind the plate today.
Yeah, and he's definitely, I don't know necessarily if they have a pitch script, but if he's calling the pitches today, he's been doing a pretty good job. He's calling them low and away in the zone, and it's been working well for for Eli Wood.
Here's the pitch. It's either he or Mark Lundin calling in the outside corner for a called strike to Lucas Brandon. Brandon, a 6'1 sophomore, right-handed batter, levels the bat as he waits for the pitch. Here it comes, and it's down a little low. Two balls and one strike, two runners on, two down, and a 1-0 Napa lead here in the Napa half of the sixth inning. On deck is the pitcher, Omar Gonzalez, for Napa High. The swing and a miss. Boy, that was a nice changeup.
That was a nasty pitch. That's a pitch that you succeed with at the next level.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs, two on. So a lot of deuces out there. And number two is on deck, Omar Gonzalez. Here is Wood with the delivery, and that was down low, and the runners were off and running, and they get a double steal there. Gipsy goes down to third base, and we have Toscano going into second base. So two runners in scoring position now, and Jason Chatham goes over and gives a high five there to his runner at third base, Gipsy. The batter is Brandon. Ooh, it came in and it hit him. Wow. So Brandon becomes the second hit batsman by Wood, the other being Brayton. That'll bring up Gonzalez, safe on an error by the second baseman back in the fifth inning. That helped Napa produce its only run. The bases are loaded now. And the pitch comes in the dirt. It gets beyond the catcher. The catcher goes, and every runner advances one, but they can only get one because the ball may have gone into the dugout. But Kipsey comes in to score. Foster moved down to third base, and Brandon moved over to second base. Ball was in the dirt, so it would be a wild pitch. And going to make a change as Eli Wood is going to be coming out for the Crashers. And I don't know who they are putting in there, making a shift, I think, from a player that was already in there. But that will be the final part for Eli Wood. 0-1 Snibel, I guess, is going to be the new pitcher. Snibel is a left-hander. Eli Wood, right-hander. Snibel will get some warm-ups here. Well, Napa now with a 2-0 lead, trying to get their first win of the season, and they still have two runners in scoring position, but two down on that wild pitch. And normally Wood has good control,
and he's been having good control, but you know, when you have success in that lower part of the zone, sometimes you try to work that zone a little, you know, work it over a little bit, but you know, occasionally you let one just a little bit too loose and you get it in the dirt. And if your catcher, he seemed to have done a pretty good job of blocking him so far, but that was one that just kind of slipped past him on an awkward bounce. So it's an unfortunate result for Eli Wood, but so far he's pitched a pretty fantastic game.
Well, Owen Snibel is getting his final tosses in there, and he'll face the opposing pitcher. Omar Gonzalez is scheduled up next for Napa. It still has two runners in scoring position now, as we have Toscano down at third base, and Lucas Brandon moved down to second base. And Gonzalez, who flied out to the center fielder, safe on an error by the second baseman. So he's 0-2. He bats as he throws, right-handed. As Napa's getting their best inning going here, see if they can sustain it here and get another run or two. Vinny's capable of coming back in the last two innings. There's the pitches outside for a ball. Snively, the lefty, facing his opposing pitcher, a righty. And it's two balls and no strikes. And the delivery, that one is over for a called strike. Gonzalez taking all the way on that pitch. Well, Vinny just had two hits. Napa's had one hit. But Napa, and there the ball is stroked out into right field. That'll be a base hit. And coming in to score is Toscano. And going down to third base is Brandon. And that's two runs in the inning, three runs in the game for Napa High. And Gonzalez gets an RBI single to right field and gets the RBI, helping his own cause there.
Yeah, that was a nice little poke through the first base, second base gap. So just a nice little blooper into right field. Right fielder made the choice to throw. Catcher had to cut it off a little bit farther up the third baseline. I actually think he may have had a chance of getting him out at first if he had thrown to first. But, you know, it's another run in the book, 3-0 lead.
And pitch just missed outside, all one. The batter is Cal Snyder. He's been up twice. He has struck out twice, both times swinging. He's up there now with two outs. And the pitch to him, the ball is hit down the third baseman, fielded cleanly. His throw is to second base for the force out on Gonzalez. And that will retire the sides on the 5-4 putout. But two runs scored in the inning with one hit, that being Gonzalez's hit that drove in the run. There was a hit by pitch ball. And the score as we go into the bottom half of the sixth, and it will be the top of the lineup coming up for Vintage, trailing 3-0.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa. Now back to Ira C. Smith and local sports coverage on KVON.
Well, the Vintage Chargers certainly have their work cut out for them now, trailing by three runs. And we're here in the bottom of the sixth inning, a scheduled seven-inning contest at Chrysler Field.
So far, it's been pretty one-sided. I mean, it's been a pretty clean game overall. You know, two pretty evenly matched teams today, it looks like, at least. You know, the record doesn't indicate that. But, you know, in a rivalry game, you throw records out. And so it's nice to see that, you know, a team that started out as, you know, as bad as Napa has, come out and have the 3-0 lead heading into the bottom of the sixth against a pretty good Vintage team. Pretty surprising, and it's well-received, I think.
Well, we'll find out what happens to the Chrysers. In the meantime, the Napa coach, Jason Chatham, had come out to say something to the umpire. So it's the top of the lineup leading off here in the sixth inning. Jake Whitbull. And he hits the ball towards left field. Left fielder going over. Center fielder going over. On the run, the left fielder, Sean Lowe, makes a running grab. Oh, wow. What a nice play out in left.
He showed his range off. He ran that one down from pretty far. You know, he stood in pretty center left field because I think they've they don't have quite as big of an outfield shift as Vintage has. But, you know, he showed that range going from left, pretty far left, to pretty good left center. So it was a nice defensive play.
Here we have the first pitch hit foul of the backstop by Harrison Kohagura. 0-2, struck out, popped up to the third baseman. .259 average for the junior coming into the contest, and the delivery swung at and missed. 0-2, the count goes to Kohagura. He's the left fielder. What a nice play by Sean Lowe, the left fielder for Napa on that first out here in the sixth inning, a big out. Here's a pitch up high, kind of a waste pitch by Gonzalez up ahead of the batter, 0-2. And he comes back to the mound now with a 1-2 count. Kohagura, batting in the number 2 spot in the order, takes the pitch. It was very close. and it was called a ball. But, boy, that was one of those that it was borderline. The right-handed batter and the right-handed pitcher are set here with a 2-2 count, and here is the delivery. And it's hit toward left field. Left fielder going back, and it is in there for a hit. Rounding first, he's going to try for second. He dives in and makes it in there without a throw to second base. So Kohagura gets a double, and that is only the third hit by the Crunchers. In fact, they have three hits. Napa only has two hits, but Napa has three runs, and Vinny's has no runs, but Kohagura gets that two-base hit. A lot of hustle to get down to second base on the play. Made a dive into second just to be sure that the throw wasn't coming in. The second baseman showing he might be covering the bag as the pitch is a called strike to Davide Magoto. Just a sophomore. By the way, Kohagura is a junior. Yeah, two juniors and three sophomores on this Crusher starting unit. The ball is hit up the middle, and it'll go out into center field for a hit and consecutive hits. And Magoto, who has had two hits today, he had the first hit back in the first inning, gets his second in the game. And the runners are on the corners now with one out. Now timeout is taken as the Napa coach, Jason Chatham, wants to come out and talk to his pitcher. Defensively, he had Cole Kipsey doing the catching and doing a nice job. Both catchers have had good ball games. Dylan Foster's been the first baseman, Cal Snyder second, Travis Brayton shortstop, and Lewis Ballard over at third defensively for Napa High. And their outfield, Sean Lowe, has been doing a really nice job there at left field, and Trent Mayer in center field, and Lucas Brandon there out in right field for Napa's defense. Rich Anderson, the coach for Vinny's, wanting his team to get a rally going here. He's taking time to go into the dugout to say something to his players that are in the dugout, giving them some instruction and sending the throw over to first base. He's safe there. The batter is the starting pitcher, Eli Wood, for the Crushers. He can really help his cause, although he was taken out of the pitching part, but I'm not sure obviously not out of the ball game, because he's at the plate and he hits the ball high in the air toward left field. Left fielder going over, center fielder coming over, center fielder calling for the ball. He gets there and he makes the put out, and coming in to score on the sacrifice fly is Kohagura, and that's the first run for the Vinny's Crushers. Eli Wood, a sacrifice fly for the RBI out into center field. That is the second out here in the sixth inning, but it makes the score 3-1 and brings Ian Avalos to the plate, a sophomore with a teammate at first base. He takes the pitch, just missed for ball one. Boy, the officiating has been good today.
Yeah, it has been pretty good. You know, there hasn't been too many pitches in question that, you know, had a big impact on the game. But overall, you know, home plate's been doing well. It's tough to be the one man out in the field trying to watch, you know, all three plays going on at one time. So, you know, overall, they've been doing a pretty good job.
Avalos, the right-handed batter, with two out and a runner on. A swing and a miss by Ian. Came into the game at a .222 batting average, hit by the pitch ball in the second inning and grounded out second to first back in the fourth inning. So he is 0-for-1 as he is up there. And the umpires asked for a timeout. Gives us a chance to congratulate Jacob Grant, officially getting accepted to go to Arizona State.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know. my first day, it's between 111 degrees and 105, depending on which temperature chart you look at. So I'm getting the shorts ready and the T-shirts, and it'll be fun out there in Tempe.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. Sure. Well, there's a throw to first base. Diving back safely was Davide Magoto, the fellow that's a base runner, has had two hits in the ball game when hits have been scarce. The ball is hit back to the pitcher. He gloves it, drops it, picks it the ball up, throws it to first in time for the out, and that gets him out of the inning with some damage done. One run scored. There were two hits in the inning and one runner left on. So we go into the seventh inning. This will be the final inning, and it'll be the number nine batter in the order, Ballard, to lead it off for Napa High, to be followed by the top of the order with Napa leading Vintage 3-1.
You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Well, let's check with Jacob Grant, find out if he's going to live on campus or what he's going to be majoring in.
So I'm going to be majoring in sports journalism at the Walter Cronkite School. It's actually in downtown Phoenix, but I'm going to be living off campus out in Tempe, where basically every apartment building is like a Vegas hotel. The number one option right now has six swimming pools, four hot tubs, a lazy river, a gym, a movie theater on site. It's pretty ridiculous, and for the grand total rent of, you know, like $850 a month.
Wow, you're going there to study, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. As Ballard, the batter leading off the seventh inning for Napa High, swings and misses at the first pitch. Ballard got an RBI on a sacrifice bunt back in the fifth inning to drive in what was the first run of the ball game. And Napa came up with two more scores than in the sixth inning. He takes this time a strike two count. Lewis Ballard, 6'2", junior, right-handed batter, is set at the plate, and the pitch is up high for a ball. The pitcher, Owen Snively, he's a left-hander. He's there in relief of Eli Wood. The pitch is over for a called strike three. So a nice pitch there by Snively. And called strike three. To start out this seventh inning, Napa leading it 3-1 here in the seventh inning contest. The batter is Sean Lowe, the leadoff batter for Napa High, and he hits the ball slowly down to the first baseman. He fields it, the pitcher covering, and it's going to be close. He's real safe. Wow, good hustle on the part of Sean Lowe to get his second hit of the season.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty good play. It was good hustle. I think it deflected off the bat, at least deflected off the catcher's mask. So I think, you know, if it hadn't been a hit, I think it could have been ruled catcher interference. But, you know, that was just a good hit. He hustled out that one. You know, it's the opposite of what Manny Machado did in the World Series, where he didn't run out the ground ball. He ran out the ground ball this time and got, you know, a nice little single.
And that brings up Trent Mayer, one down and one on, and the pitch inside corner for a called strike. Mayer came into the game as the team's leading hitter, but he has gone 0-for-3 today. Flied out to the center fielder, grounded out to the first baseman unassisted, and then hit the ball back to the pitcher who threw him out back in the sixth inning. He was leadoff batter in the sixth inning and was out. Lead it off, and then they came back, got a couple walks, a hit batsman, and a base hit, and scored a couple runs, and they lead it 3-1. Mayer is a junior, plays center field. It's a one ball, one strike count with one down and a runner on at first base and low. And here's the lefty delivering. The ball is hit toward right center field. It's going to be in there. They go for two. Center fielder comes over, picks up the ball. And that will send Lowe around to third base. The runner, Mayer, holds on at first base as the throw comes into the infield. They get the ball back to the pitcher now. with the runners on the corners again, with the low down to third base with one down, chance to add to their lead. Napa leading at 3-1 here in the seventh inning, and Kipsy is the number three batter in the order, has scored one of the three runs. He is 0-for-2, though, out on strikes and grounded out, and then he walked. There's a throw to first base, kind of a token throw. The third base runner, Sean Lowe, not trying to come into home on that throw to first, trying to keep Trent Mayer close to the bag over there. The cleanup batter, Dylan Foster, is on deck for Napa High as the pitch comes in to hit foul to the backstop. Napa with A.J. Borgia, the coach down the third baseline. Jason Chatham down the third baseline, and Borgia down the first baseline. Right-handed batter Kipsy with a pitch that is cut at and missed. No balls and two strikes. Runner at third is low. Runner at first is Mayer. The pitcher taking his time, getting the sign, working from the stretch, checks the runner. Delivers to the plate. The curveball is hit foul over to the vintage backstop. Owen Snively is the batter. Interesting that Jacob Grant brought along his computer today. Is this tell us about that setup?
Well, they have that program Point Streak, which I have downloaded on my computer for when we did scorekeeping for the Silverados up in the PA booth, and I didn't have time to print out any score templates, so figured I'd bring my laptop and do it the old-fashioned way.
The ball is hit in the air toward right field. Right fielder coming in just a stride, gets under it, makes the grab. The runner from third is coming home. Here comes the throw into the infield. There's the slide at home plate, and the ball is cut off by the first baseman. So that is the fourth run, a sacrifice fly by Kipsy out to right field to Max Phipps out there. And that is the second out, but it drives in the fourth run. And it's now a 4-1 Napa lead here in the seventh inning. Dylan Foster walked and scored in the sixth inning. He strikeout victim in the first and hit the ball back to the pitcher for a ground out in the fourth. Two down here in the Napa. There goes the runner. The swing and a miss. There's a high throw down to second base. Goes out into center field. So Mayer steals second base, gets him into scoring position now, where a hit could mean another run for Napa. Foster walked and scored back in the sixth inning, just the last inning. So this is second time at bat in the last two innings. It was the same for Kipsy. They had a big seven players come to the plate in that sixth inning. The ball is hit down the left field line. That's the opposite field from his power, and it goes foul. Dylan, the stout left-handed batter, and hitting the ball, coming around, hitting it down the left field line. So it is a 4-1 score here in the seventh inning. Napa trying to end a 14-game losing streak, 12 of those in this season, and the final two games of last season. Here is the hesitation from the stretch. Ball is hit slowly out in front of the plate, picked up by the catcher, fired down to the first baseman for the final out. Play going 2-3 there, and that will retire the size. But another run scored. There were two hits in the inning. That gives the total of hits just four in the game for Napa High. But they lead 4-1. Last chance for the Chrysers. They come up with Hernandez, Phipps, and Gazzetta scheduled up here in the seventh inning. It is Napa 4 and Vintage 1.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Well, Randy King works with the Napa High pitchers, and he's got to be pleased with the way that Omar Gonzalez has been pitching today.
Yeah, he's been pitching well. I mean, I can look at his record, or you know, his record for today's game. At least I can go back and look at that and give you a more in-depth analysis of it. But you know, so far he's been working the zone well. He's been keeping it away from the guys who you count on to get those big hits. And overall, he hasn't been making too many mistakes. I don't think he has a wild pitch on the record at all. I think he only has one walk and it's a hit by pitch. So it's not like he's given up, you know, walking three batters in a row and then giving up a double. So overall, it's been a pretty good outing so far.
Well, the pitch is taken, ball one, to Ethan Hammerlin. He is a pinch hitter. He can play either the outfield positions or it can be a catcher. And he hits the ball down towards the third baseman, fields it on a high hop. Oh, a high throw over everyone's head. Goes to the backstop and on his way to second base as he's on with an error. So Ethan Hammerlin comes in there, smacks the ball down to the third baseman, Lewis Ballard, who made a nice grab off of the high hop, but then threw it high over everybody's head. And that is an error for Napa, and that I think is their first error in the game on the third baseman. So the leadoff batter is on. Max Phipps is coming up. He has hit the ball well in his two previous attempts there at the plate, but it's been able to have been run down by the center fielder. It's 400 feet to straightaway center field here. It's quite a poke to get it out there to the fence, and the first pitch to him is over for a called strike.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty standard field dimension right there, 400 to center. So, you know, if you can hit, you know, into that deep center area where everybody kind of is playing midfield, you know, you can get some of those eeky doubles out there.
Ball is hit foul. That'll go out of play off to the left. So put the pitcher ahead. The pitcher has gone all the way, Omar Gonzalez. This is his sixth game to appear in this season. He was 0-5 coming into the game. He had pitched in 22 and a third innings coming into this one, and this is his seventh inning of work in this game. And he sails one up high, makes it 1-2. He was ahead on 0-2 there. Phipps, the batter, and he came into the game hitting at 316. Here's the pitch to him, and that just missed. It was one of those breaking pitches that really dropped down. But unfortunately for the Napa, it dropped down before he got to the plate.
Yeah, you know, that it dropped. I'm pretty sure left a mark on a home plate because of how steep it dropped. We call those a wall dragger. Because if you were to throw it against a brick wall, it'd go all the way down the wall without touching it. So, you know, it was one of those that had a pretty steep break to it.
Well, he takes the next pitch, and that's low for ball three. So he's working to a full count. They've got the base runner is over at second base, Ethan Hammerlin. Then he's just down by three runs. They need base runners. Phipps at the plate, takes ball four. Well, they've got two runners here and nobody out in the seventh inning. Napa's going to take a timeout as they want to talk to the pitcher. As that was the first walk in the game given up by Gonzalez. He's been ahead of most batters. Fell behind on a couple, but was able to still come around with his pitching. He did hit a batter, Avalos, back in the second inning. But that was the first one that he has walked. So with the runner Hammerlin on at second base and Phipps now at first base, that'll bring Troy Gisletta to the plate. And he's been up twice and has been a strikeout victim twice, but he's not going to come up. they're going to have a pinch hitter. Alex Dezade is going to be pitching. Alex Dezade, just a sophomore, played on that JV basketball team, was a very good basketball player as well. His older brother, Tony, that got, has helped us on broadcasts of some sports, including some basketball action. Here is Alex Dezade with nobody out and two on, and he hits the ball out toward the shortstop. Underhands it to second for one, over to first base, not in time there, but on the fielder's choice, that gets fifths erased. The runner, Hammerlin, went to third base, and on the fielder's choice, Dezade is safe at first base. Play going 6-4 on the fielder's choice. That's the first out. There still are two on. The ball is hit down to the shortstop. Here comes a run in from third. He'll score. There's a throw to second. Number one and out at first. A double play. And that means the run did not score, but the game is over. And so is the losing streak. Napa High has ended a losing streak, and it reached 14 in a row. 12 of them this year, and they win by a 4-1 score as double play ends the action here in the seventh inning.
That was your classic 6-4-3 right there, and no other way to put it. You know, it doesn't necessarily get converted as often at the high school level, but to come up in that big moment and to save that run from coming across the plate, it's a pretty big deal for this Napa lineup to get that first win of the season. Especially in big game against Vintage at, you know, on a road game at Vintage. So it's a pretty big deal.
Well, that was the only double play in the entire ball game for either team.
There was quite a few that could have been turned, but, you know, ended up as a fielder's choice just based on timing. But, you know, overall, you know, Napa showed good chemistry as far as, you know, getting the ball from one fielder to another and trying to get those outs, those hard outs.
Well, Napa picks a good time to get their first win of the season against their arch rival, the Vintage Crushers, and looked pretty good in doing it, too. Some pretty good fielding out there as they had one error in the ball game. Crushers had a couple errors as well. But it is a 4-1 win for the Napa High Indians, and we will be back with a quick wrap-up of the game and select the player of the game. When we return, Napa wins it over Vintage 4-1.
Stay tuned for more local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
You're listening to local sports coverage on KVON Napa.
Here's Ira C. Smith.
Welcome back in now for our wrap-up. Jacob Grant alongside here. He's compiling his finals, but I'll tell you that the statistics were fairly even in this game. Each team had four hits. Napa had one error. Vintage had a couple errors. Napa left six runners stranded. Vintage left four runners on base, including, let's see. Wait a minute there. I missed one of the runners there. So they had five left on base. And it gives Napa High their first win of the season after 12 losses this season and the last two games last year. They are now 1-3 in the league. They are 1-12 overall. Vintage drops down to 1-2 in the league. They are 4-6 overall. And looking at the hits, first of all, for Vintage, it was Harrison Koagura who had a double. Davide Magoto had two hits. And let's see. And Eli Wood had the other hit for the Vintage Crushers. Napa High had Sean Lowe, who coming into the game was 1-for-21, but was used in the leadoff spot. And so he walks to lead off the ball game, which is what you want a leadoff batter to do. and he had a base hit and scored a run in the seventh inning. And then Trent Mayer did a nice job out in center field. He had a hit in the game. Kipsey had a walk and scored a run and had a sacrifice fly. And we had Dylan Foster with the walk and scored a run. Travis Brayton was hit by a pitch. So was Lucas Brandon. And Brandon also had a single and scored the first run of the ball game. Omar Gonzalez had a hit there in the sixth inning and drove in a run to help his own cause. So those were fellows that came through with hits for Napa High.
So on the pitching side, you had for Vintage, you had Eli Wood. He went 5 2/3. He gave up 3 runs, 2 were earned on 1 hit. He struck out 9 batters. He walked 3. He had 2 hit-by-pitches and 2 wild pitches that, you know, really didn't help those. didn't help him today. Were the wild pitches and those hit-by-pitches. But overall, it was a pretty good outing. I mean, any time a guy goes out and gives you 5 2/3 with 9 strikeouts and 2 earned runs, I consider that a pretty good start. And then for, you know, their reliever was Owen Schneibel. He went 1 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, and 1 strikeout. For Napa, obviously they had the pitcher, Omar Gonzalez. He went 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts on 79 pitches. He threw 53 strikes, and he only threw 26 balls. He only gave up 1 walk, so a pretty good differential. You know, 6 strikeouts to 1 walk. Most teams take that every time, but it was a really quality start from Omar Gonzalez today.
Well, we're probably pretty much in agreement as far as the player of the game.
Yep, it's got to be Omar. I mean, you know, coming in offensively with the clutch RBI hit, and then with that pitching line, you know, it's one of those. It's tough not to pick him unless you go with Eli Wood, the opposing pitcher, who had a pretty dang good ball game too. So, it's an unfortunate result for a pretty good pitching day. Fortunately, it won't hurt his stat sheet so much because a lot of those were unearned. One of them was unearned. But overall, it was a pretty good matchup. It was a good rubber match. You know, it was one of those games that it was a rivalry game. Napa came in not having won a game and finally got one against their rivals. So, pretty good day.
So that pretty well wraps it up, and it's been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. Angelo Lyons has been our engineer back at the KVON studios. Jacob Grant helping us alongside today here at Crescer Baseball Field, and that pretty well wraps it up as our congratulations to Napa High getting that initial win of the season. We'll be back here at Vintage next Wednesday when American Canyon comes in. So a former Napa High player and a graduate of Napa High is coaching at American Canyon. And so we'll be getting set for next Wednesday, the same time, 3:45 or thereabouts, when we come on the air with another one of the Vine Valley Athletic League contests. So thanks a lot, Jacob, and again, congratulations on your acceptance at Arizona State.
Thanks, Ira, and go Sun Devils.
And that's our broadcast as we get the win under their belt for Napa High. This is Ira C. Smith reminding you the final here today, the Napa High Grizzlies 4, the Vintage Chrysers 1.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.